Well, thank God for Tulane. They're playing for a championship. LSU closes out the regular season with a nice victory over Texas A&M at home. Pretty much locking up the Heisman Trophy for Jaden Daniels. And the Saints continue on their road to inconsistency. All right, all that and more in this week's edition of Fasano Football. Be right back. And welcome to this week's edition of Fasan on Football. It's me, Michael Fasan, coming at you on this wet week, second half of the week here in New Orleans. All right, thank God for the Tulane Green Wave. They play Saturday for their conference AAC conference championship for the second straight year. They are going against SMU, who moves on to the ACC next season. A couple of things to look out for. First of all, great performance by Tulane beating Texas San Antonio to clinch a spot in the home field advantage for the conference championship this week. SMU, traditionally a great offensive team, defense not so much. Their starting quarterback was injured, so they're starting a redshirt freshman quarterback today, or as we speak. So I would say Tulane has the edge at quarterback. Michael Pratt is probably going to be in the NFL next season, should he choose to go. And I think that will be a huge advantage for Tulane. And also Tulane's defense. Remember, Tulane's defense shut down Ole Miss for the better part of three quarters. And it wasn't until late in that fourth quarter that Ole Miss kind of pulled away. Tulane actually had they were only down one score, and Ole Miss had a sack fumble, I think touchdown at the end there to kind of put the game away. But Tulane, look forward to them winning against SMU this weekend and winning a second consecutive AAC championship and moving on to a January 1st bowl game. All right. Great year by Willie Fritz. Oh, he's up for the Houston job. Fritz is. And what I would say is to Willie Fritz, is I wouldn't go. To me, it's a lateral move. Yeah, you may make more money. Yes, Houston has better facilities, indoor practice field, a whole bit. But when you look about the two cities, I mean, living in New Orleans compared to living in Houston, I mean, give me a break. It's not even close. Houston, and this is not a knock against Kenner, but Houston is Kenner times 50. Just one big suburb. And no real culture, no real, no real nightlife or family life, whatever. I mean, sure, I guess it's a good family, but listen, and I don't want to hear, well, the crime in New Orleans, because the crime in Houston's bad, bro. Unless you live in the outskirts, even Katy, Texas is getting a little shady. So I wouldn't, there's no, he's going to a safer area. No. So if I was Willie Fritz, I would stay where I'm at. You're in Tulane. You're in the New Orleans area, down to the uptown New Orleans. But you have great talent, South Louisiana, and then you can recruit east of Florida and west of Texas. And you're not gonna do much better at Houston. You're not gonna win a national championship at Houston. You're not gonna be in that position. So stay home, Willie Fritz, and end out your illustrious career as Tulane Green Wave's greatest coach ever. All right, be right back. Talk about those LSU Fighting Tigers. All right, welcome back to Fasano Football. The LSU Fighting Tigers do what they were supposed to do. They beat Texas A&M, an inferior team, with a fired head coach, an interim coach. It didn't look great in the beginning because the defense hadn't, you know, of course, they did what the defense does. And they had kind of a plan for Jaden Daniels at first, but like all great quarterbacks do, Daniels figured them out and took over in the second half. And LSU runs away with it. And, I mean, as far as LSU's concerned, I think they beat them by 2 scores. 42-30-something or other. 45, whatever the score was. I forget. But the real story is, I think Jaden Daniels cemented his way as the Heisman Trophy winner. I mean, I don't see how you can look at he and Bo Nix play. It's two different type of quarterbacks. Now, they both get the job done. But who's the better, more dominant player? It's got to be Jaden Daniels. He throws the ball downfield more. He's pretty much unstoppable when he gets in the open field. He's a good leader. He's smart. His teammates love him. Now, I'm not saying that Bo Nix isn't a good leader and he's smart or anything like that, but Bo Nix, remember, the conference that Bo Nix transferred to because he couldn't hack it in the SEC is the conference that Jaden Daniels transferred from because he didn't think it was challenging enough for him and he wanted to play in the SEC because he saw it as a bigger challenge. So, listen, the Heisman voters who, most sports writers in America who vote for the Heisman, they're idiots. They have no idea what they're even talking about, what they're even looking at. They have no concept of different degrees of competition, difficulty in schedule. They can't see, and they let their biases take over their judgment. So you're going to see a lot of people in the South, in the Northwest, the Pacific Northwest, vote Nix. Because, number one, they're not writers, they're not objective writers, they're Oregon fans, okay? Pac-12 fans, and so they, who happen to be sports writers. So they're going to vote for the guy that they root for. Nix. And probably that's going to happen in the South with Jaden Daniels. Maybe, I think the way it's going to shake out is I think Daniels is going to win the South, the East Coast. Bo Nix will probably win the Pacific Northwest. But remember, Jaden Daniels is a West Coast kid. And so he still has a lot of people who remember him from high school, how he dominated high school, he dominated Arizona State his freshman year. And maybe he'll get some votes that way. I personally think, Jay, no matter what Bo Nix does in his championship games, conference championship game, I think Jaden Daniels, to me, is the clear-cut favorite. And I think he'll win the Heisman Trophy. All right, LSU's football season, for all practical purposes, is done. They finished 9-3. Going into the season, 9-3 is a disappointment. But nobody knew how god-awful the defense was going to play. Nobody envisioned how poorly coached they were going to be, how the transfers that came in were not going to pan out, how what they were going to do with what they do with Perkins. Harold Perkins was astonishing in a bad way. They had a guy in Perkins who was a heat-seeking guy that missile as a freshman when it came to tracking down quarterbacks and running backs in the backfield. And for some reason, they wanted to turn him into a coverage linebacker. And It's a colossal mistake. He, when you take a guy who's got an aggressive mindset, like Harold Perkins has, you don't put him in a passive situation like dropping back in coverage. You want him to attack. Attack, 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 which is what they did his freshman year. See ball, get ball. Okay. You could have done that his sophomore year. See ball, get ball, and we're going to feed you some more things, and maybe by the time he's a junior, you can morph him into a more complete linebacker. But I'm here to tell you, Harold Perkins could be the defense's answer to Jaden Daniels. There's nobody out there that can hang with him. When you have him attacking the line of scrimmage, the quarterback, and the backfield. But for some reason, LSU's defensive coach has got it in their head that no, we're going to take our best pass rusher and we're going to take his best asset and neutralize it. I don't know whose idea that was, but listen, Brian Kelly signed off on it. But maybe it was his idea. And much as I respect Kelly, and I think he's a great coach, it's a boneheaded move. And hopefully he realizes it in the off season, but hopefully Perkins doesn't transfer. But we'll see what happens. Now, going into year three, Brian Kelly, you lose your quarterback, you lose at least one of your best receivers. But I never worry about wide receivers at LSU. I never worried about it. People were freaking out when Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson and Marshall, all that, Malik Nabers pops up. It's just LSU will always have good wide receivers. So I'm not worried about them losing wide receivers. You can't replace a Jaden Daniels, just like you can't replace a Joe Burrow. What Jaden Daniels does is special. Only he can do. You've never seen a quarterback like him at LSU, and you will never see one again. A quarterback with that size, with that speed, who can turn a bad play into a 90-yard touchdown. They don't come around that often. But what you can do is you have Garrett Nussmeier coming in. I think he's a 15-year junior. I mean, this guy's been on campus forever. He looks like probably your odds-on favorite to start. But you had a freshman that played this that was on the team this year, and you have a phenom coming in, this kid from Georgia. Gurley is his last name, Gurley, who has been lighting it up in high school, and he's been an LSU commit for, I think, 2 seasons. So he's ready to come on board and challenge anybody. And then there's going to be some quarterbacks going into the transfer portal, and you owe it to yourself, not having an incumbent starter, to bring one in. Ole Miss does it. Ole Miss had a starter, and they brought in 2 transfers, Walker Howard and the guy from Oklahoma State, and Jackson Dart, Paxton Dart, whatever his name is he, and he said he's coming back for a senior year. So, look for Ole Miss to bring. I'm telling you. You just owe it to yourself to stack quarterbacks and let the chips fall where they may. They'll be fine at running back. They had a really 2 really good freshman running backs this season. I think Logan Diggs comes back for another season. You got some freshmen coming in that you recruited, but the big thing is you got defensive. You got to shore up the defense. And I don't know if you're going to fire your defensive coordinator, but somebody's got to go to make an example that this is not acceptable. and you got to regroup either through the transfer portal or bringing in recruits. You got to rebuild that defense, because you can't have a defense next year that's this bad, because you won't win 9 games with that defense. You might win 4, and I mean that's just against the little, double A schools that you bring in for homecoming, the Armies and the Georgia State and all those people. So, year 3 is not a guarantee that you're going to repeat non-season, but it's not a guarantee you won't. So we'll just have to see what happens next year. All right, come right back, and we'll talk to about, we'll talk about those crazy, crazy Saints over in Atlanta. And welcome back to Pisano Football. All right, let's get into the Saints with this crazy and inconsistent, tone-deaf, no self-awareness, average, ho-hum, so-so football team. And the same could be said for the head coach and the quarterback. And the general manager, who came out with some wonderful, let's just go over some of the quotes, okay? After this debacle against Atlanta, embarrassment. Atlanta's not a good team, okay? Desmond Ridder is not a good quarterback. He was benched. The only reason they came back was the guy that took his place got hurt. All right, grab back in, Desmond, and we'll just ride it out, and we'll get a high draft choice next season. Maybe pick a good quarterback. That's what Atlanta's plan is, or was, until they accidentally did the best they could, but won anyway, beat the Saints. Ridder throws an interception in the Saints' end zone. He throws another interception to the same guy, close to the Saints' end zone. Trying to lose. But he was playing the Saints, man. The Saints like, come on, bro. We got this. You go win. Don't worry about it. You know why? Because we don't prepare. We have a coach that don't know how to prepare us for what's coming. And don't know how to make adjustments during the game. And don't know how to motivate people to play. See, they have an average, super duper average, I would say bad, head football coach. He's 5-6, so that's average. Okay. Worst schedule in the NFL. Been saying it all year. Worst offense when it comes to the red zone in the NFL. But Dennis Allen, after the game, said, oh, we did a bunch of good things. Really? What'd you do besides? Give me one good thing you did, because when you lose a game like that, nothing you did was good enough. Nothing. So don't give me, well, we did a lot of good things. We moved the ball. Well, who cares if you moved the ball? Moving the ball means nothing. You have to score. That's the idea. And preferably touchdowns. You have to score touchdowns in the NFL. It's the only way to win. You can't get away with 5 field goals and then get mad at your kicker because he missed the 6th field goal from 55 yards out. And he missed wide. Then Group A, whatever the hell his name is, he's going to miss one. You give that boy 6 chances, one of them's going to sail right. I'm telling you. That's who he is. So don't give me, well, we did some good things out there. And then Mickey Loomis comes out and says, well, we're one of the best teams moving the ball on offense, but that's the positive. We got the right people in the building. Listen, Mickey Loomis, I know you want to stay positive and you don't want to go negative, but this is what I would have said. Hey, I'm going to stay positive. I'm going to hope that we win out these rest of these games, win our division, get a home playoff game, see what happens. But right now, what I'm seeing, although I'm happy with some things, it's not good enough. Plain and simple. So while I'm happy with some good things and I'm optimistic that we can turn this thing around and finish strong and get in the playoffs, host a playoff game, I'm not happy, just like the fans aren't happy with what's going on right now as it relates to winning games and our offensive performance in the red zone. But the craziest comment I heard from this whole mess that this football season has turned into, the craziest comment I heard was from Derek Carr himself post-game, when he said, "Oh, I don't know, the safety left his man. Safeties don't do that. He left his man, and so he just made a great play. I went over and I congratulated him." I'm like, wait a minute. Hold on a minute. Now listen, I've never played any kind of ball on that level, but I'm here to tell you, I played safety. Safeties make their living off of reading the quarterback's eyes and leaving their man, because they know where that quarterback's going just by reading their eyes. And what Derek Carr didn't tell the public in that press conference was he locked in on Shaheed the second he got his hands on the ball. And the safety, I guess Bates, who probably spent a lot of time in the film room, was prepared for what the Saints did in that situation, saw how they were lined up, saw Rashid Shaheed run that little route, that quick end, saw Derek Carr lock in and left his posts, which is what a safety does. There's no real man-to-man in safety for a safety. He left his area and pick six. Boom. I mean, this all happened within a half a second. So I don't want to hear some quarterback who's been playing, this is his 11th season in the NFL, it has started most of that time, started a lot of games, try to tell me that a safety never leaves his spot to come help out, make a play on another receiver. That's just he's either lying. I hope he's lying, because if he's not lying, that means he doesn't know any better. And if he doesn't know any better, is there any reason why in 11 years he's one of the worst quarterbacks in the history of the NFL when it comes to red zone? This is not just happening since he got with the Saints. This has been going on since he's been in the NFL with the Raiders and now with the Saints. And I think Josh McDaniel, John Gruden, did the absolute best he could with Derek Carr, with coaching him and coaching him and coaching him. And when Josh McDaniel got to him, couldn't believe how dumb he was, and said, "You know what? I can't win with this dude. I just can't. He's too unreliable. You know, inconsistent. The worst part about it being an inconsistent anything is that I can't trust that you're going to do whatever it is you're supposed to do at a particular moment. Because maybe you will, but maybe you won't. If you do, great. If you don't, I get fired. I take the L as the head coach." So you can't trust inconsistency. You can't rely on it. You can't bank on it. And you certainly can't trust it. So what you have in Derek Carr is the absolute epitome, the definition of inconsistent quarterback play. Oh, and by the way, he wasn't really, really consistent against Atlanta. Shaheed Raheed hurt when he threw the ball behind him by 2 yards, and Shaheed had to twist his body reaching back to make a catch. It was wide open. If he's led, It's a touchdown. With that man's speed and elusiveness, a touchdown. And oh, by the way, the Saints settled for a field goal on that drive. That's a minus four. A point differential. So, here you have a quarterback who, and then he comes during the week with some stuff about being smart, man, with the reporters about, well, you can ask me different ways, but the answer's still going to be the same. Yeah, I felt like saying when I was looking at the TV, yeah, the answer's the same. You're inconsistent. You don't know what you're going to do from one play to the next. You don't. Well, much less what the coaches are going to do. So, that's that. You have Dennis Allen, who's just walking around. Dennis Allen has the posture of a guy who's won 10 Super Bowls. The way he walks around, with his shoulders back, his chin up. He just walks around like, what? I've won 10 Super Bowls. What do you want from me? I've never seen a guy who has less self-awareness than Dennis Allen. And I said this before the season started on two radio shows. The only thing that's going to keep the Saints from having a winning season is Dennis Allen. For being successful. And in my eyes, a successful season is winning your division, hosting a home game, and winning that game. But let me tell you, even if that happens, the Saints win their division and host, no guarantee. They're just as awful at home as they are on the road. They're awful. Everywhere. They're awful at times. More times than not. So now you got Detroit Lions coming in, embarrassed in front of their home crowd, in front of the world on Thanksgiving Day by the Green Bay Packers. You remember the Packers, the Saints gave up 17-point fourth quarter lead. Yeah, those Packers. And lost. Yeah. So, you know, they're coming in loaded for bear. And the Saints have a ton of injuries. I mean, they were going down like the guys on Normandy Beach and Saving Private Ryan in the beginning of that movie. That's how the Saints players were going down. I've never seen anything like it. But I don't want the Saints to be able to use that or Dennis Allen as an excuse. Oh, we've had a rash of injuries. You were playing inconsistent ball before the injuries hit. It's not like you were 8-2 or 9-1 and oh my God, we had all these injuries now. What are we gonna do? We're gonna lose a bunch of games. And to be honest with you, I guess maybe in the final drive when the Saints were trying to get in position to get within one score, but they still got there. They got within field goal range. I didn't notice the difference. The only issue was Taysom Hill fumbling, you know, on the, I guess, the 10-yard line, Atlanta's 10-yard line. The Saints still kept moving. I didn't notice a damn bit of difference, except the fact that the defense all of a sudden had more holes in it than the Bonnie Carey spillway during flood season. I mean, it was just rolling, Atlanta was. And Atlanta's built to run, and the Saints knew that going in, and they still couldn't stop it. So here you have the Detroit Lions coming to town. You know, I just can't see any way, shape, or form that the Saints can win that game. Detroit's a legit playoff team. And the Saints are just floundering around waiting, you know. They're like that goofy TSA guy. You put your laptops over here. You put your coats in this one. That's the Saints. All right, that's going to wrap it up for this week's edition of Fazan on Football. I hope you've enjoyed listening as much as I've enjoyed bringing it to you. And then we'll talk again next week.